And welcome back to today's to today's topical currents. Bonnie Berman with you. Joseph Cooper is away. Well, blogging is popular. Food blogging is huge. Let's find out why. Joining us now is chef, author, syndicated columnist, and cordon bleu chef, Linda Gassenheimer. Good afternoon, Linda.
And our friend.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
Linda, do you have a blog?
Well, yes, it's part of my web page, but it's not exact. Let's find out from the expert here.
Okay.
Because have you ever heard of Blogher?
I have now.
Yeah, Blogher and Blogher Food.
Is that as opposed to Blog Him?
We'll find out.
Okay.
So are you confused by blogging in general? It's really become part of our lives. In fact, there's going to be a Blogher Food Conference right here in Miami next week. And here to help us understand more is Blogher co-founder and COO, Elisa Kammerhort. Welcome, Elisa.
Hi, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you with us. You're going to have to really help Bonnie and myself and probably a lot of other people understand a few things. And so we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any blogging questions for Elisa Kammerhort? Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
And email is radio@WLRN.org, or you can tweet us at Topical Currents.
Great. And of course, with us, our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. He's joining us by Skype. Fred gives the wine suggestions for my Dinner Minutes column that you can read in today's Miami Herald. You can also read Fred Tasker's wine column in today's Herald. Fred, what are we drinking? Are we blogging drinking?
Absolutely. One of my favorite topics is wine blogs.
All right. Okay, great. Elisa Kammerhort, first of all, what is Blogher?
Well, Blogher is the largest community and network of mostly women who blog but also use all the other social media platforms and through that have become influencers to their audience.
Why only women? I mean, you said mostly women, so I suppose you may have some non-women.
Yes, otherwise known
called,
as men.
They're called men, Linda.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We were founded almost 10 years ago, and our mission is to create opportunities for women online to pursue education, exposure, community, and economic empowerment. And we were really founded because women comprise more than half the population, more than half the internet users. They are more than half the active users of tools like Pinterest and Facebook, Twitter. And we wanted to shine a spotlight on what they're doing online and help them get paid for their work.
Well, that's an interesting point. Get paid for their work. There's so many bloggers out there, and monetizing a blog is just so difficult. So how do you help them?
Well, we have a couple of different ways people make money working with Blogher. I mean, first of all, we pay the writers whose work we syndicate on blogher.com. So we
let me ask you, you syndicate some bloggers? Bloggers.
Right. So on blogher.com, it's really a news service and community hub about everything women are talking about online. So we have some on-staff contributing editors, but we also syndicate work and commission work from bloggers all over our community. And if we publish you on our site, we're going to pay you for that work. So we believe that you should be paid for the writing that you're doing. But also, we work with thousands of influencers to help them monetize by participating either in running our advertising, so we work as their publisher, basically, or they participate in various kinds of promotional and marketing campaigns.
Well, I want to back up a little bit.
Yeah.
You work with influencers. So tell me, what is that?
Well, so, the world has changed a lot in the last few years. And back when we started, blogging was really it. But now, of course, you have Pinterest, you have Twitter, you have Instagram, you have Facebook. And people are building audience and building community. And our research shows that when someone trusts the person they know online, they consider them a real friend, and they consider their recommendations as valid and trustworthy as any other real friend, and more valid and trustworthy than things they read from people they don't know. So we really consider those people to be heavily influential consumers themselves who just happen to speak to millions of other consumers. I mean, our network reaches 100 million people a month, so it's a big
deal.
And you have advertisers, Elisa? That's how you function?
Yep, we have advertisers. We have sponsors for our conferences. We have marketers who do content marketing campaigns with us. And for us, one measure of our success is how well are we serving the people in our network on that mission of creating economic empowerment. And over the last 5 years, we've paid $36 million to almost 6,000 members of our network.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're really proud of that. That's one of the ways that we really measure our success as a company.
So so let me try to understand. This is getting a little difficult. Bonnie and I are sitting here with frowns on. But so you have to join Blogger. That's the first step. Is that right?
To monetize, you have to be in our network and apply to be in our network. To be syndicated as a writer, you submit you submit to be or solicit to be syndicated like you would any other publication or media outlet.
When you say apply to be in your network, how does one do that?
Well, you can go to blogger.com/advertising, and there's a whole, you know, we have a set of criteria. One of the things we're really dedicated to is not really the size of your audience, it's the quality and consistency of your content. You can have a smaller audience, but they trust you 100%, and therefore you are extremely influential with that audience. And so we're much more concerned about quality and consistency and the willingness to sign on for our editorial guidelines, which means you moderate your comments, you make sure that there's no unacceptable content, you're not plagiarizing, you're properly attributing and not violating any copyright, that you're all sorts of guidelines.
So you vet, in other words, the people
exactly.
who are applying. And is there a fee to become part of your network?
Nope. It's free to join, and then we share revenue with you on the advertising, and we pay you directly on a retainer basis for any content marketing that we may program that we may involve you in.
Well, sounds good.
Sounds very interesting. You know, we probably have a lot of listeners here who are not even sure what a blog means. So tell us a little bit about blogging in general.
So blogging has been around for a long time, and a lot of times when people ask me
when you say a long time, you mean what, 5 years?
Oh, no. Blogging started in the late 90s, mostly.
Okay. All right.
But it became more of a commercial force in the mid-2000s, and we were one of the early ones who were helping people figure out a business model for blogging. But the thing about blogging is a blog is just a kind of website. There are as many different kinds of blogs as there are different kinds of websites. People blog about every topic under the sun. There's many different visual formats. I mean, we've even kind of broken away from blogs used to be pretty much reverse chronological order and very, you know, very simple in navigation. But now there's just, you know, there's blogs that look like beautiful magazine sites, and there's blogs that look a lot of different ways. So you don't even always know when you're looking at a blog versus any other kind of website.
As to whether or not it's a blog or a website.
Yeah,
in
it's
other
hard
words.
To distinguish.
So, but many websites are in fact blogs.
Right. So I don't think it's that important to distinguish, actually. It's about who's the content creator and do you enjoy the content, and I think the thing that may distinguish blogs is that there's always authentic, recognizable, identifiable humans that are speaking on blogs. It's not a corporate site that has a corporate voice. It's not a site that sort of just has the editors and you don't know who they are. It's very human.
So if I'm looking for a subject, I want to grill vegetables, okay?
Uh-huh.
So what do I do? Just type in bloggers who talk about vegetables? I mean, how do I find the blog? Because there's so many hundreds of them out there.
Right. So, you know, that's the interesting thing about blogs is that they actually do very well in search results if you're just going to Google or Bing something, you know, blogs will typically come very high in the results because they're very search friendly and there's lots of dynamic content and they're very link friendly. They're always linking to one another. But what brings a blog up in search results is how many people have shared that link, how many people are pointing to that link. And so oftentimes if you blog, you know, how to grill vegetables, your first page is going to have a healthy amount of blogs in it. But you can even, Google even has a specific blog search tool, or you can go on blogger.com and search as well.
And search that way. I noticed you mentioned in some of your information, Linky Love. So is this what you're talking about, linking? Tell us a little bit more about linking and Linky Love.
So if you go back to the beginning of the blogosphere, one of the fundamental parts of blogging and sort of the ethos of blogging was about reciprocating and giving each other what we call link love. And you always attributed, you always gave credit, you always were pointing to other people. And part of that is the way you build community, because when you point to someone, they see that you did that, and they're like, who linked to me? That's so nice. Let me check them out. And now you're building relationships.
So how do you do that? Well, you're talking to novices here.
Yes. Well, in most blogging platforms, they have what's called, I'll give you a fun tech term, WYSIWYG, which is an acronym that stands for what you see is what you get.
WYSIWYG, okay.
WYSIWYG. And yes. it's an interface for blogging that looks like your word processor. It looks like Microsoft Word. And you're typing, that's what you're typing in, and you hit publish and you're done. Well, just like you can do in Word, you can attach a hyperlink or a URL to another site underneath words that you're typing. So you highlight them and you insert the link. So when it goes live, you can say, as I learned from Chef David Leibovitz, and his name will be highlighted, and someone can click on that and go to his website.
His link.
Right. Okay, yeah.
So it's a big value in the blogosphere to always share that link love. And when you're talking about someone and you're linking to them, A, so they know you're talking about them, and B, so they get a little link love.
Okay. Well, now you're coming to Miami for a BlogHer conference. So
yes.
Tell us when and where.
So we're going to be in Miami next week, May 16th and 17th, Friday and Saturday, at the Hilton downtown Miami for BlogHer Food. And BlogHer Food is the largest conference focused on food bloggers and online food photographers and writers and stylists and chefs and authors that exists in the country.
Now, the blogosphere is so huge. Why did you just pick BlogHer Food? Is food one of the largest types of blogs out there?
It is. So we have an annual conference that's the largest conference for bloggers in the country, and that's this summer in San Jose, and that's going to host 4,000 people. But we noticed that food bloggers were becoming a bigger and bigger part of it, and that their content needs, their learning needs were really intense. Food blogging is serious business. I mean, if you think about it, if you're a recipe blogger, you need to come up with the recipe, then you create it, then you cook it, then you style it, then you take pretty photos of it, then you have to write a great story about it, and now you're sharing it and promoting it. There's a lot of steps. And so we knew that this was a great place to pull out and focus. It's also a huge traffic driver on the internet. People, you know, food is universal. Everybody's got to eat, and everybody's got to figure out what to eat. So it drives a lot of web traffic. It drives a lot of searching. And that's why food blogs have been able to become, they're our largest topic area, and they are for a lot of other media companies, too. It really drives a lot of web conversation and web traffic. And so it was a natural fit to pull out and do BlogHer Food.
Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guest today is BlogHer co-founder and COO Elisa Kammerhort. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back with more blogging information. We'll be right back.
Miami Light Project celebrates 15 years of commissioning Miami artists with the premiere of Here and Now 2014, featuring new dance, theater, and visual art by Letty Bassart, Abel Cornejo, Ana Mendez, David Rohn, Danilo de la Torre, and Juan Carlos Saldivar, May 8th through 17th at the Lightbox at Golden Warehouse. Tickets and info at MiamiLightProject.com.
This year, start a new Mother's Day tradition by sending her flowers through WLRN.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Berman with Peter J. We're again teaming up with Field of Flowers to make it easy to take good care of mom and support public radio in South Florida.
All it takes is a $120 contribution to WLRN, and we'll ensure your mom gets a beautifully arranged bouquet of vibrant flowers for her special day.
To order, go online at WLRNradio.org or call 1-866-247-9576.
1-866-247-9576.
We're funded by listeners like you and by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation, committed to safeguarding Floridians from scams, poor quality work, and other liabilities. Many businesses and professions require a license. Information is at myfloridalicense.com.
And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Blogger, co-founder, and COO, Elisa Kammerhardt, has been navigating us through the blogosphere. And Bonnie and I are trying very hard to navigate with her. She's been explaining how Blogger works, how some bloggers are monetizing their blogs, and what's going to be happening at the Blogger Food Conference here in Miami, May 16th and 17th. And if you'd like to join it or know more about that, go to blogher.com. I think it's blogher.com/food. Is that right, Elisa?
It's blogher.com/conferences.
Okay, oh, say okay. It again.
blogher.com/conferences.
All right. So, well, if you want a dinner in minutes, let's talk about that for tonight. Or this is a no-fuss quick dinner for Mother's Day. So if your family wants to make a dinner quick and easy for Mom and you don't want to go out for dinner, this is a roasted chicken pasta salad, and the only cooking you're going to have to do is to boil up the water. And you can use any type of shortcut pasta for this. Buy a rotisserie or roasted chicken. Just cut it up into bite-sized pieces. Then I mix some mayonnaise and some curry powder with some mango chutney to mix that all together. Toss it with the chicken, add the cooked pasta. I add a little sliced celery. And then I serve it over some romaine lettuce and tomato wedges and sprinkle scallions on top. So it's really simple. It's colorful. It's light. I think it's something Mother would like. And you don't have to mess up the kitchen, which you would like even more. That complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And if you want another really, really simple, even more simple recipe for Mother's Day, my recipe today is an antipasto salad, and it's in today's Miami Herald. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. So, Fred Tasker, what are we drinking? Or blogging?
Well,
drinking?
If you have great food blogs, it stands to reason that they should be paired with great wine blogs. And there are a lot of them out there. I Googled the words wine blog, and I got 491 million hits.
Which million? Makes them million more, hits?
Million.
More popular than the Beatles. Anyway, one of my favorite blogs is by Alice Fearing, the wine and travel columnist for Time magazine. She spells her name F-I-E-R-I-N-G, but it should be spelled Fearless, because if she disagrees with you about a wine, you really know it. She wrote about a French wine critic who had panned the Chenin Blanc white wines of his country's Loire Valley. She said, "He does not shy away from unsupported sensationalism. Now he has written an article that places him in the forefront of lunacy." So she calls him, that's telling it like it is.
It sure is.
She calls herself a radical, and I believe her. You can find her at alicefearing.com. And there's another wine blog by the British wine critic Jancis Robinson, and she is a real expert. She's co-author of the 700-page World Atlas of Wine, so she knows something about hundreds of wines. And she's so popular, she seems to be invited to every important wine tasting in the world. I was just reading one of her items about it tasting half a dozen Bordeaux reds from the 1964 vintage. I mean, how many people could do that? You can really get into the depths of wine with her.
She drank it? She got a hold of a 1964?
Well, I mean, she was invited to a tasting.
Tasting, yes.
Yeah, wow. By somebody who owned those wines. Mm-hmm, and you've got to be pretty important to get invited to something like that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, she was the first person outside the wine industry to pass the really rigorous exam to become a master of wine, which involves identifying dozens of wines and blind tastings. And she said her secret was that she was pregnant at the time and she had to spit out every drop of wine she tasted. And this kept her palate sharper than her competitors, so she did better than they did. And she's at Jancis Robinson, that's J-A-N-C-I-S, Robinson.com. And then if you're a beer lover, there is a great website called yourbeernetwork.com that links you to 7 beer blogs. And in full disclosure, one of them is The Beer Clinic by The Beer Doctor, who is a prominent cancer doctor named Carol Westbrook, and she's my daughter's mother-in-law.
Okay.
And this week, just full disclosure, you know.
That's all right,
Fred.
Sounds
good. This
week
she has a very interesting entry about the up-and-coming Empire Michigan hops farm run by my brother-in-law. So see how well-connected I am. And it means that if you're a real wine or beer fan, you could spend your whole life browsing these blogs. And in some cases, I kind of do. And I hope you have a glass of wine or beer in your hand at the same time.
You know, Fred, I'm just kind of picturing your family Thanksgiving. Beer drinkers versus your wine drinking. I mean, you know, I hope you get along.
Well, up in Michigan, I'm living in northern Michigan now, and the local beers are better than the local wines in a lot of cases. So I'm becoming a beer fan.
All right. Sounds good to me. Let's go. Lisa Kamahort, do you do any, does Blogger have a lot of wine bloggers?
Well, I will say that the majority of our food bloggers are definitely baking and cooking, and especially special diets are really popular now, you know, food allergies, gluten-free, vegan. But we have a few wine bloggers as well. You have to have that to go along with any great meal.
Okay, sounds good. Now, if somebody just wants to start blogging, what advice can you give them?
Well, besides coming to Blog Her Food next week in Miami, the best advice I give usually is to start by reading blogs and get a sense of what you like and what you don't like and what appeals to you. And think about, what do you really want to talk about consistently for a while? Because I think a trap a lot of people fall in is that they start a blog and it's all over the place, or they started on a topic that actually 3 months later they're like, ugh, I can't talk about this every week anymore. So really think about what you're passionate about. And the third thing I would say is that you don't have to share your blog right away. You can start a blog using one of the low or no-cost tools like Blogger, WordPress, Typepad, and you can start writing just for you and get a sense of what you want to talk about in your voice. And then when you have some content there, then you can let your friends and family know and start to get some engagement and feedback. I think the pressure of having everyone come visit you when you have one post saying, hi, I want to start a blog, I think that's tough.
Alisa, what's the average?
You know, I'm wondering if you feel that you have to post something new every day if you have a blog. I did a blog when I was at the Herald, and it took up half my day. It really is a time user.
I don't believe you have to blog every day. There are no rules. First of all, most people blog for self-expression, and so that means you make the rules. Now, if you want to make money, yes, blogging more frequently, more consistently, and more high quality will help you do that. But first and foremost, figure out what you want to talk about and stick to and will enjoy, and that's sort of the first step before you go on and figure out more, I think.
What's the average length of a blog? I mean, how long should it be, if there is a should?
You mean the length of posts?
Yeah.
I think that most people probably, if they're going to have an actual story they're telling, you're looking at 400 or 500 words, you know, something okay. That's similar to a column in a newspaper is a good guideline. I used to write a column on for a local weekly here about being a vegetarian and a vegan, and, you know, I had a 300-word column, and that's pretty analogous to a post. Now, you can really wax poetic and go on, or you can do short posts as well that just say, hey, I saw this cool thing. I think you guys would like it too. Check it out. Here's why.
Okay, so let me ask you, how do you know when people are creating their own recipe or they're just taking somebody else's recipe and not giving them the credit?
Well, you know, that's a tough problem for food bloggers. They get they have to really keep an eagle eye. And, you know, you can't really copyright. There's a whole we often have sessions at our conference, in fact, about the legal ramifications, because there's a lot about a recipe you can't copyright. You know, there's a million recipes out there for how to make this or that item. It's tough.
Yeah, right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I just wanted to make a note to South Florida chefs. The Australian Lamb Spring Fling Chefs Contest is on, and the grand prize is a trip to Australia. So chefs, to enter, you have to create a lamb dish, and you have to send it in, and you have a short deadline. The deadline's May 9th. So send your recipes to australianmeat.com/springfling. And it's been a very interesting week. Lisa Kamahort, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Nice to meet you.
And good luck on the Blog Her Food Conference in Miami, May 16th and 17th. And for more information, go to Blog Her Food. What is
blogher.com/conferences.
That's correct. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you, Bonnie. Next week will be our popular restaurant roundabout. It's 1 hour program with reviewers Jen Koretnik, Matthew Meltzer. and tips from you, our listeners. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join us then.
Bye, Fred.
Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up today's Topical Currents. It was our pleasure to have you with us. Our producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction from Michael Stock. Our online producer is Paul Leary. We have free audio archives and downloads from our website, WLRN.org. More information and links to the Topical Currents Facebook page. That's facebook.com/topicalcurrents. And you can follow me on Twitter at Bonnie Berman. Tomorrow at this time, please join Ed Bell for another edition of South Florida Arts Beat. And we return on Monday with a look at collaborative law and the training process with Florida Collaborative Trainers. Bonnie Berman wishing you a great Thursday, a great weekend, and a beautiful Mother's Day. Don't forget, you can still get your flowers for Mom through WLRN for your $120 contribution. Just 5 hours left to do that. 1-866-247-9576. 1-866-247-9576. WLRNradio.org. Stay tuned for Here and Now, up next from NPR News.